those of you online, again, we love you, and we're so glad that you're joining in with us. Please stay through this whole service and through this message. I believe I have a word of the Lord today. Get your seatbelts on. Okay. So if you have your Bibles, turn to 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. There was a woman who was being interviewed for jury selection. And I was telling the early service how right before COVID, I got to serve on a jury, which was really fun and exciting because I always get kicked. Everybody wants to be kicked off. You know, they're all like, they don't want to be on the jury. But I'm like, I want to be on it. But they always kick me off when they ask me what I do for a living. And so usually the prosecution says, out of here. We don't want him. But I got on a jury this last year right before COVID, and that was pretty cool. But anyway, this woman came to the judge, and she says, I can't be on a jury since I don't believe in capital punishment. The judge says, no, ma'am, don't worry. You don't understand. This case is about a man who promised his wife an expensive necklace for their anniversary, but he blew all his money playing roulette. The woman replied, and she said, oh, in that case, I changed my mind about capital punishment. A lot of us are quick to judge those that are around us who do wickedness. This past Thursday night, we had a very interesting Bible study and discussion. You need to be a part of our Bible studies. This was really interesting because we talked about imprecatory prayer. Imprecatory prayer. What is imprecatory prayer? Well, as we're studying the book of Nehemiah, and I believe Ezra and Nehemiah speaking prophetically. Now, this is the crazy thing. When I was led to have us study Ezra and Nehemiah, I said, this is prophesying to us. I find out that God's speaking the same thing to a number of other prophetic friends of mine. They're all talking about Ezra and Nehemiah. It's just mind-blowing. So I know the Lord is saying something. So at one point, Nehemiah prays this prayer because he wants to build the wall, and they're starting to build the wall. And Sanballat and Tobiah, two enemies, start hassling them and threaten them and are causing all these problems trying to stop the wall from being built. So Nehemiah prays to the Lord, and the Lord basically says, let their own curses fall upon their own heads. That was his prayer. He was cursing them in prayer, because they were opposing the work of God. And so I talked about that. Is that a kind of, that's called imprecatory prayer. Can we pray those kinds of prayers? I shared one scripture. I'm not going to get into it here. You go back and you watch that Bible study on PortHuronAssembly.com. But I want to read Psalm 139, because I shared that because David prayed imprecatory prayers. And one of the most famous ones comes out of one of the most famous scriptures, Psalm 139, which is a beloved scripture of many. And it says, oh Lord, you have searched me and known me. Remember that one? You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thoughts afar off. And then you skip to verse 7. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Then he says, watch this. He says, oh, that you would slay the wicked, O God. I mean, one moment he's, oh, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. And then he's, oh, that you would slay the wicked. Depart from me, therefore, you bloodthirsty men, for they speak against you wickedly. Your enemies take your name in vain. Do I not hate them, O Lord, who hate you? And do I not loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them with a perfect hatred. I count them my enemies. That's King David. I mean, just a minute ago, he's like, I was fearfully and wonderfully made in my mother's womb. I was like, I hate the wicked. Slay them. He's praying this. And so he talked about it. But watch this. The very next verse, he says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties and see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting. You see, David got angry in a righteous anger. And sometimes, you know, it's good. It's good to have a righteous anger. But he was very wise in that after he's praying these terrible curses upon his enemies, he says, God, I want to make sure I'm not worthy of my own curses. Search my heart, O God, and see. He wisely turned his attention to his own heart. We would be wise to do the same. Because if we wish, as we look at the world situation, and it looks so dark, and it looks so, the enemies of God seem to be prospering in every part of our culture. But if we wish or pray judgment to come, understand that judgment begins with the house of God. So if judgment is going to be poured out, if you're praying for judgment to come, it starts with us. But whether you're praying or not, it's happening and it's coming. And it's starting with us. 1 Peter chapter 4, we pick it up at verse 12. And he says, Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part, he is blasphemed, but on your part, he is glorified. And as you know, we've been talking about how in this epistle that Peter's writing, he's writing to a church that's being persecuted, a church that's struggling. People of God were really suffering for their faith. There was an evil king, an evil emperor in place, and there was evil all around them, and they were being persecuted. But he says, don't be surprised. Why are you surprised about that? And if you're doing it for the name of Christ, you're blessed. And actually, the Spirit of God and glory rests on you. We have a reward, church. We have something coming to us. Oh, when I heard Wes's testimony of seeing the multitudes before he passed on into eternity, and he said, I'm going to heaven. I was just, my faith was just so restored and strengthened and blessed and just like, wow, yes, Lord, we have a reward. It could be tough sometimes in this life, but if we're suffering for his sake, we're going to get our reward. But then he says, but let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, or as a busybody in other people's matters. I'm going to heaven. I'm not a murderer. I never killed anybody. I never robbed a bank. Were you a busybody in everybody's affairs? Yikes. Ouch. Yet, if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him, this is one of the few places in the New Testament where we see the word Christian. Very interesting. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter. For the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. Did you catch that? For the time has come, and I believe the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? Whew. Take your Bibles right now. Lift them up, your phones, whatever you have, use as your Bible. Those of you online too, if you have your Bible, lift it up and say this with me. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. And I can do what it says I can do. And this morning, my mind is alert. My spirit is awake. And I will not allow condemnation, but I will allow conviction. And I'll never be the same. Never, never, never. And Lord, help Pastor Joe to keep it real simple. Amen. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. And I'm serious. I'm going to preach hard this morning. But I don't want you to get guilt tripped, but I do want you to be convicted by the Holy Spirit if he does. If he starts talking to you, don't ignore it. Because, you know, there are people today who actually say the opposite of what we just said. They say, this is my Bible. Well, it's not really my Bible, but it's the Bible they got us. And I'm not what it says I am. And I don't have what it says I have. I don't even want it necessarily. And I can't do what it says I can do. I don't want to do what it says I can do. Right? John Burton just put out posted an article on Facebook about a church, I forgot where it was, Texas or Tennessee or somewhere, that basically said, we don't believe this to be the Word of God anymore, an evangelical church. There are mistakes in it. And there are problems, and there are just some things that are not reality. And I think it's for that reason, and one of the reasons why I believe judgment is beginning with the house of God. By the way, that church won't last. Look at the mainline denominations. They've all said, this isn't the Word of God anymore. And they're all closing left and right, even in our own city. Because why go to church if it's not real, right? Why read the Bible or hear about God if it's not real? And so judgment comes to the house of God, and it starts there. And that's what I want to talk about today, that the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. This is not a popular message. And I'm not going to grow a mega church preaching this way. But it's the Bible. And we need to preach the Bible. Because if we preach the Bible, we will have balance. Now, if I just come to you and say, well, this topic, I want to preach on this topic this week, and I'm going to do a series on that topic next month, and we're going to... Then you know what's going to end up happening. It's going to be stuff I want to preach on, right? It's going to be stuff that maybe will grow our church and all this stuff. But if you go through the Bible verse by verse, you're going to get the good and the bad and the ugly. You know, you're going to get the whole thing, the whole counsel of God. Paul said, I have preached the whole counsel of God. And we need to get the whole counsel. That's why I believe I will sometimes hit topics. But for the most part, I'm what's called an expository preacher. Go through the Bible verse by verse. That's what we do on Thursday nights. We go through the Bible verse by verse. Because then we're going to get the whole picture and not be distorted. There's a lot of distortion going on out there. And again, this is one of the reasons why I believe there's judgment coming to the house of God. And we don't like judgment. We don't like chastisement. I talked about how when I was a little kid and my mom would say, your dad is going to whoop you when he gets home from work. And I'd be sitting there, and do you think I went out and saw dad's car and, Daddy, Daddy, here's the belt, here. Do you think I did that? No. We had a nice, convenient bathroom right downstairs with a lock on the door. And it's amazing my parents never took that lock out, but then again, guests used it, so I guess they had to keep the lock on it. And when I saw dad's car, I beelined for that bathroom, and I locked that door. And I kept it locked. I mean, I was there for an hour, hour and a half, until I got hungry, or until Lost in Space was going to be on, and I didn't want to miss it. So I came out of the bathroom, and just let me watch Lost in Space. We don't like chastisement. And the Bible talks about that. It says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11, now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Oh my gosh, that belt was painful. Nevertheless, watch this. Nevertheless, afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Chastisement trains us. When the Lord chastises us, it trains us. If we let him chastise us, it's going to result in peaceable fruit of righteousness. That phrase is incredible. The peaceable, you know, there are a lot of Christians, they have no peace. You know why? They won't let God chastise them. So they go on doing all the wrong that they're doing, and they know they shouldn't be doing, or they're not doing what they should be doing, and they have no peace because they haven't let God chastise them, or they didn't recognize the chastisement of God. Peaceable fruit of righteousness, and it results in righteousness. It trains us how, okay, this is not good for us. When we do this, bad things happen, and we got to stop doing them, and it's going to result in righteousness. Now, there is a great judgment coming upon the earth, but God is chastening his church, and he's not done yet. He's just starting, and he's testing you and me. And the question is, how are you doing? How are you doing? And I'm looking at myself, and I to be honest, I've never been good at tests. I learned stuff at school, but tests, especially chemistry, I choked on every one of my tests in chemistry. But I'm not good with tests. And I tell the Lord, I said, honestly, Lord, I know I failed that last test. I had an opportunity to really prove my love for you, but I failed. I'm sorry. And God will allow us to give us another chance. But I think that one of the ways that we know we are under chastisement is persecution. Persecution, I think, is a sign. Not always. Remember, Peter just talked about that if you suffer as a Christian. So sometimes we're going to suffer simply because we're doing right, because people who are doing wrong don't like people around them who are doing right. And they'll give us a hard time, and they'll persecute us. And we'll be persecuted for righteousness' sake. But I do think that God does put a protection, or he covers us, and that we really have never, in America especially, have never suffered the persecution that we could have. I think God has covered us, and that God, there was this covering of protection over us, that God has allowed us to continue in our faith, and persecution has never really arisen. But I do believe there are seasons where God lifts his protection off of us and allows us to be persecuted. And that's his chastisement. And we really learned this in our Bible study. Again, Thursday night, it's just such a powerful Bible study, that we see how in the book of Ezra, that the children of Israel were sent after 70 years of exile, being taken over by Babylon. Then Persia took over Babylon. And the Persian king Cyrus, after 70 years, that Jerusalem was destroyed. The people were scattered. And Cyrus, the king of Persia, says, "You Jewish people, go back, build your temple, build your house of God, rebuild your city." And they began to rejoice. For 70 years they wept over the judgment. That was judgment on them, that 70-year exile. Tim DeLena, pastor of Times Square Church, and he was pastor here in Michigan for many years, he just preached a message. You got to watch this message. It's about Babylon. God is sending us to Babylon, which is what happened to the Jewish people. Powerful message. He's one of the best in the world. But anyway, so they come back to their homeland, and they're rebuilding the altar, and they're rebuilding the temple, and they can freely worship the Lord in their land, in the holy city of Jerusalem again. And it's revival. And then all of a sudden, opposition comes, and the locals got angry, and they sent letters to the king and said, "These people are rebels. They're going to rebel against you." And the king said, "Stop the work." It was a different king now. "Stop the work." And the work was stopped. And you can imagine the disappointment. And you can imagine, here it looked like so many good things were happening. And isn't that what happened to us? Isn't it that we felt like, wow, God is about to do something. There's something happening, stirring, even politically, and laws are being, bad laws are being reversed, and good laws are being brought back in, and all these exciting things. And then, boom, then there's COVID, and then there's all this political unrest and racial unrest and everything, all of a sudden. And what happened? That's how the Israelites felt. But you know what? God allowed those things to happen because he was chastising them. Because the Israelites, and that's why I feel Ezra is so prophetic to our day. The Israelites, they started building the altar and the temple and stuff, but then they're thinking, hey, we're back at our own land. And now we can build a house on our land that belonged to us for centuries. And let's build our house. And all of a sudden, they forgot about the house of God. And they were more interested in their own houses. Oh, my. You know, this COVID lockdown, I think it's really got us too used to being at home and building our own houses. Got us a little too used to that. And that's what happened to the Israelites. You know, we're starting to see it. Persecution. Some of the stuff, the chastisement is well-deserved and the persecution is well-deserved. You had so many preachers and TV preachers, and none of them predicted COVID, number one. I mean, the biggest historical event in 100 years, and they missed it. And then number two, they missed it on the Trump prophecies that Trump was going to be a second-term president, and they missed it on that. There is a chance, though, I got to tell you, if you do the Ezra and Nehemiah Bible study, you'll see. But they basically missed it, and they doubled down on it. You know, I was very careful. I did not say, as far as I know, I never said that I believed that Trump was going to get a second term. I believed that I said that the prophets were saying that, and some of the good things he was doing, you know, that God could continue that, and that he would be baptized in the Spirit and saved, and et cetera. And those things were prophesied. I want everybody, I love Joe Biden, to get baptized in the Spirit and saved and full of the Holy Ghost. So, you know, I was hoping for those things, but they didn't happen yet. So the atheists are having a field day on YouTube right now. Oh, my goodness. They're quoting all, they're showing videos of these guys making their prophecies and stuff and totally missing it and then doubling down on their prophecies. And it's all over YouTube, and it's in the major papers, and the major networks have all covered this. And it's an embarrassment to the church. But you know what? We got to let God spank us and say, well, I wasn't involved in that. But you know what? In some way, we are connected, and we need to allow God to spank us and learn our lessons. And I hope we learn some lessons, in that we don't say everything we feel thus saith the Lord. We better be sure it's the Lord when we say, thus saith the Lord. So things like that, we missed a lot of stuff. So anyway, going back to Ezra. So they're having revival, and it stops, and the work of God stops. And Haggai is sent to prophesy, and he says, thus speaks the Lord of hosts, saying, this people says the time has not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then the word of the Lord came by Haggai, the prophet, saying, is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses and this temple lie in ruins? Now, therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much and bring in little. You eat, but you do not have enough. You drink, but you are not filled with drink. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages to put into a bag with holes. You know, when you're seeing these kinds of things in your life, the Lord may be chastening you. And he may be trying to say something to you. And he was to the Israelites, because, again, they forgot about the house of God. And people are forgetting. Yes, I know there's COVID and stuff, but we can't stop. We can't stop doing the work of God. We can't say the time has not come. I was talking to one leader, a major college ministry leader, and he told me, Joe, we better get ready for this kind of stuff happening well into the 2030s. We better learn how to minister in times of difficulty like this and build the house of God. People are saying, we can't build the house of God now. We can't get involved. Okay. No, you have to. And God, he will continue his chastisement until we get it right. And even those of you online, I know some of you, you can't, you're afraid to come into assemblies, and or you can't because you're around people who are vulnerable and stuff, but you can still build the house of God. You can continue to work for the... In fact, take this message, and I dare you to share it on your page. Put it on your Facebook page and share it right now. And you can continue to build the house of God. You can continue to give. You can pray. You can be a part of our prayer meetings and stuff. If online, if nothing else, we can't stop building the house because judgment comes as a result. And he continues. Haggai says, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountains and bring wood and build the temple." The temple now is us. It's the church. It's the people of God. And yes, we have buildings and stuff, and we have properties to help us as the living stones fulfill our ministry and our calling and our witness. But he says, go to the mountains and bring wood and build the temple, that I might take pleasure in it and be glorified, says the Lord. You looked for much, but indeed it came to little, and when you brought it home, I blew it away. Why, says the Lord of hosts? Because of my house that is in ruins, while every one of you runs to his own house. And those of you online, I'm not going to that church. That pastor said this. I don't like you, pastor. You're preaching hard at me. Or I went to this church or that church and somebody offended me. His house is in ruins. And you need to rebuild it. And find out how you can rebuild it. Even if you have to be doing it from a distance in a sense. But we have to be, God is chastising us. And this is what happens when we're being chastised. And I'm not, people are not getting it. I'm in so many meetings. I'm in all these Zoom meetings with all these ministries and groups of ministries. And we're not getting it. We're not getting on our knees. We're not saying, God, okay, you're chastising us. Instead of repenting, we're rebuking. Everybody's rebuking the devil and rebuking the sickness and rebuking this when we ought to be on our knees repenting. We need to repent. That's what God is waiting for. This COVID's not going to go away until we see repentance. And it starts with the household of God. But we refuse to repent. I'm just not seeing it. And we had something... That's why I felt so strong. This is a word of the Lord and I got to preach it. And this has got to go out. It's got to be shared. Those of you here, go home, share this out on your pages. Because we've got to turn to God. And it starts with us, the church. It starts with the people of God. And if we turn, then our nation will turn as well. So, the chief sin, as I look at Haggai here, is delaying the building of God's house. Now, great judgment is upon those who have forsaken the assembling together to build God's house and his church. And again, it can be online, assembling with us online. But in other words, what you need to do is go to the mountains and get wood. What that means is go get your building materials. What are your building materials? Well, let me finish with this. It's right in our text in 1 Peter. So we began reading in verse 7 here in 1 Peter, and he said, but the end of all things, we've done this passage several times, but I think it's the word of the Lord. That's why God keeps bringing it up. But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious or sober-minded and watchful in your prayers. One reason why we are being chastised is the prayerlessness in the church, in America. The church is not praying. We're not praying here like we should be. The Bible says, watch and pray. Pray watchfully. Watch out what's going on. Pray. The church is not praying. The prayer meeting is the lowest attended meeting in the church world. You know, it's been said by Leonard Ravenhill, the great revivalist and preacher. He said this. He said, Sunday morning attendance shows how many people love the church. Evening service attendance shows how much people love the pastor. And I kind of feel unloved a little bit. And then the prayer meeting shows how many love God. Ooh, Ouch. But I look at places like Nigeria, and I can't find this video. I've been looking for it. Years ago, I saw this, and it blew my mind. It was a Friday all-night prayer meeting in Lagos, Nigeria. There were 1 million people there. The camera would pan, and it just went around. And there were people as far as the eye could see, and it just panned around. And that was an all-night prayer meeting. Not a church service, not a big evangelist, but a prayer meeting. And they were on their faces, and they were groaning and moaning and crying and speaking in tongues. And I mean, 1 million people, if you could imagine what that looked like. And by the way, the churches in Nigeria are so big that you have to take a tram for the altar call. So when the preacher gives the altar call, there are so many people, tens of thousands, so far away in the building that they literally have trams that take people up to the altar. You cop on a little tram. And then in India, we saw this video from the Assemblies of God of the churches in India that at 4 a.m. prayer during the week have as many people in them, 5,000 people or more, as in their Sunday morning service. And that's why revival's breaking out there. So we got to pray, church. But again, you might say, well, I can't come to prayer with the COVID and all that. And you may have very valid reasons. But that's why I do Zoom. That's why we bought this service. We pay for it. I spend half a Thursday setting things up so that people can join into our Bible studies and our prayer. And I only get one or two people that join in by Zoom, and especially for the prayer. And you might be saying, well, I don't know how to do Zoom. Well, I didn't know how to do it either. I had to figure this all out. And I want to ask, isn't it worth it? Isn't it worth it to take some time to learn? It's not really that hard, actually. You just got to download the Zoom client or whatever they call it, and the app or whatever online. You can do it on your phone. You can do it on your computer. And you just click in. I send the link, and you just click the link, and it just comes on. And so, again, isn't it worth it? Isn't being a part of the church worth it? And we're going to do this prayer, this half night of prayer, coming up March 5th. I've been in the prayer chapel, you know, in the mornings here, 7 to 8. But when we call prayer meetings, we need to be a part of that. We do pray on Thursdays normally. We won't the next few nights because of meetings. But we got this prayer service Thursday. We got to pray. Watch and pray. And then the other thing, and above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. I preached on this last Sunday. And this is the other reason why chastisement, judgment is beginning at the household of God, because we're not covering people's sins. We're pointing them out. And we're being offended by people. And people are saying, I'm not going to church anymore because this happened to me, or this person said this to me, and that. They're not covering sins, they're uncovering. Are you with me? And this is why there's chastisement. We're actually right, straight out disobeying God's words. You know, there are a lot of cover-ups out there right now, you know. In the political, in the news world, there's a lot of cover-ups, right? Well, guess what? We ought to be really good at cover-ups. Covering up one another's sins. Not to excuse them, but to challenge people, to help them to live right, but forgiving quickly. So we need to do that. Hospitality. We're not being hospitable, or we're being hospitable with grumbling. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. So we've got to be hospitable. By the way, this is, this will go in the next verse, which is, as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers or serves, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. So, what's bringing about judgment in the house of God? Lack of watchful prayer, lack of fervent love, grumbling about hospitality. Number four, not using your gifts for the building of God's house. If you're not using your gifts, if you're a preacher, you ought to be preaching. If you're a prophet, you ought to be prophesying. If you're a handyman, you ought to be doing handyman stuff and serving. And I was thinking about the hospitable thing. This is where we got killed with COVID, our church right here. We got killed. We don't have ushers and greeters. We got Ed and Cliff. I need ushers and greeters, hospitality. We need to be hospitable. We need to have someone at the door over there helping people go through the maze to here. We need people welcome. And anybody can do that. And not just anybody. You need to have been part of the church for a few months and stuff, and we know you and such. But we do need ushers and greeters. And it just doesn't really require a whole lot of work. But we have to be hospitable, especially in these days. And anything, you know, there are people, well, I don't have any gifts. You're a liar. Because you're obviously doing something. If you can clean your house, you can clean the church. Right? If you know how to cook, then you can help somebody with food. If you know how to fix something or paint something, you can at home, you can do it at the church. Don't tell me you don't have any gifts. And a lot of you are doing that, and that's so necessary. It's so important. And again, you might say, well, I can't be out in public now and the COVID thing and stuff. There's stuff you can do. I mean, we need the whole internet thing. This whole internet this morning was a disaster. But there's so many areas, and we got people that are going shopping all day, and they're going to Walmart, and they're going to the mall, but they can't come to church. Explain that. Explain that to him. Well, God, I couldn't go. But you went to Walmart. I know, but I needed to build my house. Oops, pastor preached about that. come on, we got to let God spank us a little bit. And we need to learn lessons from what God is saying to us. So what's the solution? The solution is pray. Pray. Learn how to pray. Start praying. Be involved in prayer meetings. Love people. Cover their sins and love people. Be quick to forgive. Be hospitable. Hospitable. Be friendly and welcoming to people. And use your gifts for the building of God's house. And I'm talking, again, not just the building, but God's house, us, building us up. Use those gifts. And God, if we are faithful in that, he'll lift this terrible judgment that's on this world. But it's got to start with us. And I don't know about you, but I want this COVID thing lifted. I'm done with it. You know, I want our nation to turn back to God. I wanted to, and if that means I got to check my own heart and see, what am I doing, Lord? I got to get things right. I'm going to check my heart, because we got to get things right. And my goal is not to make you feel guilty, but if God is speaking to you right now about something, about one of these things or more of these things, if God is speaking to you, you must obey him, not Pastor Joe. Obey him. Obey his word. If he's dealing with you about some of these things, and those of you online as well. And I want to speak especially to those who don't have a personal relationship with Jesus. We read it. I mean, the scripture is very clear. If judgment begins at the household of God, you know, what will come, as we read, if judgment begins here with those who are saved, what will come of those who are outside? And if you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus, get in the ark. I've been talking about the ark, Noah's ark, you know, before judgment came. Peter talks about it, the apostle. And so we got to get on the ark, who is Jesus, and make sure we're rescued from the judgment that is to come. And how you do that is you ask Jesus in your life. You make him your Lord. You just say, enough running from him, enough running away from him. because these days are evil and things could get a lot worse. And God is just, there's so many things that we really, this is a season, you know, God's really been dealing with me about the justice issue and this whole Port Huron restatement. We got to see justice all around. Got to care for the minorities and the people who are going through difficulties. And for a large part, a lot of the white church is just kind of, you know, that's liberal or whatever. I think that's one of the reasons why God is judging us too. We got to listen, discerning, and Jesus at the center and all of that. But we got to be listening. So we're in a difficult day, and I want to pray for those who might not have yet asked Jesus into their heart, whether you're online or you're here in the building. Would you just pray this with me? And everybody can pray this out loud just as a recommitment prayer. But especially if you've never really asked Jesus in your heart or you've been away from him and you're ready to come back to him, would you say this? It's not the words, but it's the heart of the words. And just say this with me. Lord Jesus, come into my life. I recognize you, our Lord, and I confess you as Lord. So thank you for dying for my sins. Forgive me of all my sins. Cleanse me, past, present, and future. I want to serve you. I believe you're alive. Thank you, Lord. Amen. It's that simple. It's having a relationship, starting a relationship with him and being humble before God. I want us all to stand, if you would, please. And I really feel like today, we haven't had a lot of altar calls, and I so believe in the altar. COVID has kind of quenched us a little bit with altar calls and stuff, but you can bring your mask or whatever. But I just think we need to respond in a physical way and come to the altars. And if God has spoken to you anything in this message today, if God has spoken to you and you need to respond and just say, yes, Lord, or you're just saying, you know, search me, oh God, I can't even see my own need. I can't even see it. I need you to open up my eyes. I don't want to miss what you're trying to say to me. Would you come to these altars as Jessica sings the song, I need you more, and just find a place of prayer and just say, God, forgive me, first of all. Forgive us. And Lord, just lift these oppressive things off of us. And Lord, help us to be humble before you. And I just think something about stepping out and coming up here and just making a stand or kneeling, I think God will really use that to solidify his word to you. So let's come. Let's come to the Lord. Let's find a place before his presence and say, Lord, come. Hallelujah. Find a place at the front steps or the front pew here.
Need you more than yesterday. I need you, Lord. More than words can say. I